I've always believed in creating my own luck, but I've also been superstitious. I actually wore the same pair of socks when I started working with West Publishing. Obviously, I didn't have any money, so I was wearing a borrowed suit, and I had one pair of dress shoes, one pair of socks. You had to wear suit and tie every day back in 1992 when I started. And I made $30,000 or $50,000 my first month working at West Publishing. And I thought it was luck. And I somehow got in my mind that my socks were lucky. And so for almost 3 years, I didn't change my socks. I washed them, but I wore the exact same pair. In fact, I also wore the same shoes. And when I would be in cities with snow, there's holes in the bottom of not only the shoes, but the socks. And I think that may have been a carryover from playing baseball, but I had my lucky socks. I still have the lucky socks. I don't wear the lucky socks. I should frame the lucky socks. But so many of us live life at the mercy of superstition. And some of us even may feel like today, Friday the 13th, they won't do certain things. I do everything, because in life and business, we often hear about luck, those moments when success seems to appear out of nowhere, or challenges or evidence contrary to where we want to be come out and present themselves out of nowhere. However, true luck is not random. It is consequential. It's coinciding. It's the result of the consistent, persistent pursuit of what you want by doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing what you want. Things may happen very slowly, but then they'll happen all of a sudden. And when it happens all of a sudden, it's not luck. The relationships you cultivate and the energy you put into the world will create these coincidences, the coinciding of the universe. And whether it's Friday the 13th, like it is today, or Friday the 12th, 11th, or 10th, it's irrelevant. We'll break down this myth of superstition and show you how you can create your own fortune and use the mathematical equation of luck. By understanding how intention and what we do say, think, feel, and believe in action with the appropriate mindset all intersect, you can start making predictable progress, quantitative progress towards your divine direction, your milestones, or better. Notating "or better" rather than relying on chance or luck or superstition. The power to shape your success lies in your daily activities, negotiable, non-negotiable, and your heart set, your mindset, and of course your handset, not in the superstition or luck, but the combination of hope and a positive perception towards that divine direction. The first thing that we need to do to transform superstition into a controllable mathematical equation is to understand and redefine luck in itself. Luck is often perceived or defined as a random occurrence based off a certain day, number, color, or socks. But in reality, it's the result of consistent, persistent pursuit of your own potential. It takes the consistency of doing, saying, thinking, feeling, believing, consistent relationships that are feeding you in the divine direction, that good behaviors and bad behaviors diminished in that mindset. Understanding that luck isn't about just chance, but it is a mathematical formula that we can control. And it allows us to take ownership and accountability of our own divine direction. Take ownership and accountability of the detours. And as you know, my love language, to take ownership and accountability of time. When Tom Brady was picked, I think 199th pick, or you've seen these underdog IPOs show up, that what appears to be luck is in fact the result of the preparation, meaning the opportunity. And the pre-preparation includes pre-prioritization, the preparation in the pre-post-prioritization, and the post-preparation. that meets these opportunities. These situations highlight that success comes to those who are ready for it. And if you look throughout Tom Brady's career, from high school to Michigan, where he played in college, to when he was drafted by Robert Kraft with the New England Patriots as the 199th pick, to being prepared when he got his first start, and Drew Bledsoe got hurt, to the Super Bowl, where he was down 30 points or more at halftime. It was not luck that made him the GOAT, the greatest of all time. It was preparation combined with prioritization that allowed him to meet the opportunities when other people won't even see what they're given. Luck is where this mathematical formula takes place. Tom Brady and many others pay attention to what they want. Tom Brady wanted to play in high school. He wanted to play in college. He wanted to play in the NFL. He wanted to win Super Bowls and MVPs. He wanted all those things, and he paid attention to it. He wrote it down. He put it on a vision board. He utilized and paid all of his attention as a non-negotiable to the behaviors that he was going to tie to that attention. And he categorized those behaviors of, I am every day, non-negotiably, regardless of the circumstance, going to do my best, learn lessons, and have fun in what I do to do all those things, what I say to do all those things, what I think to do all those things, what I believe to do all those things, and feel it as well. When he got drafted as the 199th pick, it bugged the crap out of him. But it didn't stop him from telling Mr. Kraft, you have just made the best decision that you've ever made. Imagine that. Tom Brady is drafted the 199th pick in the draft, talking to a billionaire that has already created a Super Bowl team, already created a multi-billion dollar company, already created amazing philanthropy. And he has the words, the actions, the feelings, the beliefs, the thoughts to tell Robert Kraft, you made the greatest decision. And he proved it. Superstition is not hoping without accountability. It's not just hope. It's not just faith. In the context of paying attention as Tom Brady and giving it intention, doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing every step of the way, doing his best, learning lessons, and having fun, Tom Brady and many others realize that what we pay attention to plus what we give our intention to in those five different ways, actions, equal the coinciding of the universe, the coincidences, the consequences, and the results. While the math of luck is rooted in these actionable and predictable behaviors that are aligned with our intention. And when we realize and define the good behaviors are just those words, thoughts, beliefs, feelings that are aligned with making your high school team, your college team, the NFL to be an MVP or a Super Bowl winner or multi-Super Bowl winner or multi-MVP, whatever it is, these are predictable behaviors that will create mathematically the coincidences that you want. There is no luck. There is no superstition. There are actionable behaviors aligned with your intention and your focus that will create what you want or better. And that's where people get confused, because the second lesson is, within the context of superstition, lies an illusion of control. And therefore, when the outcome or the coincidences aren't happening fast enough, which they never do, or they're not exactly what we wanted, which they never are, we believe and have an illusion of control, and we call it accountability, where really accountability is the process of learning. Superstition keeps us in a passive state, and that passive state is not one of faith. Faith exists in the intersection between attention and intention, when we've predisposed ourselves to surrender, not utilize surrender to determine what it is to get there. Predisposition of surrender is, I'm okay with better, even though I don't understand why there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary to where I want to be or better. Superstition keeps us in this illusion of control in a passive state where we believe things are what? Out of our control. When you believe things are out of control, that is not faith. That is not faith. When you believe that your God walks beside you, that you are a co-creator, a commander of the universe, commanding it with a higher source that loves you, protects you, promotes you, if you are part of an omniscient, an infinite, abundant, unified system, that you, in place and part of that system, are in complete control, you're supposed to learn from it. And that only better is coming in the guise of the protection, promotion, love, and perfection that you are part of. You are a participant, an active participant, paying attention and giving intention to the coincidences you want or better. And it is this illusion control called superstition that actually interferes with where we want to be or better. And it is the inappropriate definition of surrender. It actually is interfering with your intention, not promoting it. In reality, it's our consistent good behavior aligned with where we want to be, and consistent identification of bad behavior, that which interferes with it, that determines our success, not random lucky events or lucky days or lucky socks, as we sit here on Friday the 13th. There's so many common superstitions, whether it's in baseball, football, basketball, hockey, or any other sport, but there's also common business superstitions that include wearing these lucky socks, relying on pre-meeting rituals. My mentor and aunt used to eat a York peppermint patty before each of her big meetings, thinking that that somehow brought luck. It may be a catalyst to remind, remember, and recollect with your source, but it is not luck itself. It is not superstition. We cannot rely on market timing myths. These things externalize power and create dependency on the uncontrollable. Your controllability relies on your activity, not on the passive hope and dream of nonsensical superstition. Superstitions don't prepare us for success, and neither does luck. They distract us from the necessary intention, actions, of what we do say, think, feel, and believe that lead to the coincidences or better, and also prepare us with an open-minded accountability perception of what am I supposed to learn from this, even though I don't understand it, and it doesn't look like it is what I want or better. When we can recognize, identify, elevate our awareness to address certain predispositions called superstitions in our lives, we can then replace the passive habits that we have with these proactive, intentional, do say, think, feel, and believe activities and make them non-negotiable. The math of luck, this formula of what we pay attention to and give intention to equal the coincidences, consequences, and results, we can trust. We can have faith in the wisdom, in the faith, in the predisposition, in the predisposed pre-prioritization of activities of attention and intention to equal those coincidences. Luck can be predictable when you follow the formula. Consistent behaviors aligned with where you want to be or better, identifying the interfering or bad behaviors of where you want to be, utilizing strong relationships by focusing in on the relativity of those relationships, the association of those relationships, and in the context of how that relationship, when that relationship, at what percentage of that relationship does it bleed or feed me, result in a feeding in the intuition, intellect, and inspiration that we look for in order to facilitate, to make easy the outcomes that we desire are better, or the perspective of that outcome is better with positivity, the positive energy that exists in the infinite, unified, abundant system of thought that we belong to. This framework shifts us from hope to intentionality. Hope is not faith. Hope is asking for faith. Faith is in the intentionality of what we do say, think, and feel, and believe, and the behavioral alignment with where we want to be or better, or the identification of the bad behavioral interference of where we want to be or better. Putting us in complete control of our outcomes or better, in the humility that we don't know what we don't know. Luck is a formula. It is a formula of what you do consistently, who you know, and how you feel about it. Luck is that formula of what you do consistently, persistently in the pursuit of your own potential. Who do you know in your spheres of relativity, association, feeding and bleeding, and how you feel about it, the ultimate level, highest level of intention, the truth. Luck isn't a random activity. It's the byproduct of the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential and in the enjoyment of that relationship, capital, relativity, association, and feeding with energetic and genetic alignment, picking and choosing your basements and aligning it with what's doing well, what's stable, and what you think is doing well to create the delta with desire, the margins of success with desire, and still have the faith of accountability of what did I do to be responsible? What did I do to track this? What did I do to participate in this perception? And what am I supposed to learn from it? The ultimate goal or objective of life, the human experience. In between when your heart starts and when it stops is just a bunch of lessons. And those lessons will keep on coming until you learn them. Thus, why we may feel that there is luck or superstition when those lessons keep coming and the positivity of the results keep coming, we may feel as if there is luck, or it makes it a very, very easy scapegoat. When we apply the mathematical formula of luck, of what we pay attention to, give intention to create these coincidences by what we do consistently, non-negotiably, who we know in the realm of relativity association, and the appreciation of the feeding and bleeding and how we feel about it, we realize that this byproduct in this formula gives you from the terrifying uncertainty that exists in superstition to the faith that exists in certainty. We are trying in the journey of uncertainty to provide certainty. What's the only certainty of the future? It's simple time, right? The only certainty in the future is time. So the more that we can take control of time and utilize it in the correct behaviors that are aligned with where we want to be or better, divine direction, detours divine, and time divine. When we can take all that's uncertain and provide a certain dependent variable of time, that we can provide more certainty into our future. So we are intentional about our sleep. Oh, there goes one third of our future. I am certain about my future because I have a sleep coach. I have an unwinding routine. I have a non-negotiable behavior of 8 hours of sleep, which leaves me two thirds of my life. And then I use time in order to facilitate another 4 hours to take certainty with my family, my finance, my faith, the study of the time, the study of relativity or meaning. Now that leaves what? 12 hours, half of my life in the future that is circumstantial and uncertain. And with that 12 hours, I do not rely on luck. I'm extremely intentional and pay attention to that time. How and what am I going to do consistently? Who do I know and that I can help and can help me? And how do I feel? Minimizing the resistance and the distance of resistance from the reactions to fear. The feeling of guilt, resentment, separate, inferior, superior, the feeling of anger and frustration, of worry. These are all feelings that interfere and create superstition, not create certainty to where we want to be or better. It interferes with the mathematical equation of luck as I see it. So we need to focus in on our daily, everyday, consistent, persistent pursuit of our potential and enjoy it through that relativity of meaning. Of the detours in the divinity that we can find within it, of what we are given, even though when it looks like we're punished, we have faith that we're protected, promoted, loved, and perfected. And we look for the light, the love, and the lessons in it through appreciation, gratitude, and we forgive ourselves to shorten the distance of resistance, to create more ease, more inspiration, intellect, and inspiration in what we do. So why? So we feel good about it. The more that you feel good, the more dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins are released. And the more we feel bad with worry, resentment, guilt, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, etc., we feel bad. So it interferes with the mathematical equation of luck. We need to build relationships through meaning with everything we do, say, think, feel, and believe. We need to help ourselves to give the meaning by surrounding ourselves with the right people and the right ideas. We need to find the right teams to be on, the right positions to play, so we can help others and they can help us. And we need to do that consistently as a non-negotiable to take control of luck. We need to align our basements with what's doing well, what's stable, and what we think is doing well, and then give it attention and intention, knowing we create the margins through desires, through the desire that we must be what we can be. When we don't feel that, when we feel luck or superstition, we need to replace it by canceling the thoughts and words that come through us. We need to clear our subconscious mind of the repetitive negativity and behaviors that result from that repetitive negativity, because most of the day, we already know a third of the day we spend sleeping, but most of the other 16 hours we're spending in subconscious, not conscious thought. And if we haven't programmed our subconscious, our intermediate memory, to be repetitious and reinforcing in the positive behaviors, we will actually interfere with or accelerate bad luck or bad behavior in the wrong direction. And then we will interfere with our mathematical formula of coincidence. We get the wrong coincidings of the wrong results, the wrong consequences in our lives. Letting go of limiting beliefs based off of meaning of our past, failures, setbacks, mistakes, defining moments, relativities of our past, will free us of superstition and luck and to create our own fortune by clearing away the negative behaviors, influences that are interfering with our divine direction, and they're giving the wrong meaning to the detours in our lives and wasting time. We need to align ourselves with the empowering truths and behaviors that will get us to where we want to be or better, utilizing wisdom and faith to shorten that distance. So we need to identify and replace all the limiting beliefs of our past with new empowering behaviors to help shift this passive mindset to the proactive one that's in control. Superstition is an interference between us and what we are. I am happy. What am I doing to interfere with it? I am healthy, wealthy, and worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? It is superstition that will drain or interfere with it. And if we can clear it, shift our energy, not only are we canceling all that we do, say, think, feel, and believe that is not aligned with where we want to be, not only are we clearing our subconscious mind so the repetitive nature of the human consciousness is in a positive behavior, not interfering or a negative one, but we also can connect to, command with, collaborate with the infinite, abundant, unified system of thought, an infinite amount of energy, an infinite amount of information, an infinite amount of inspiration to create a space for abundance for everything that you desire. Cancel the limiting beliefs. You'll never overachieve your own self-image, canceling the limiting beliefs and the superstitions. Clear the space in the subconscious so that we have repetitive, empowering behaviors and beliefs that are aligned with the divine. And then connect, command, collaborate with the infinite information, energy, and inspiration to provide us abundance through service and gratitude. There's many tools that we can utilize to multiply this mathematical equation of luck, and utilizing the 5 daily practices in which I teach, which, by the way, I'll be happy to provide to everybody along with this guide of creating your own luck, of superstition versus creating your own luck. The 5 daily practices are the tools that we use in order to effectuate the appropriate behaviors and minimize the inappropriate behaviors, the behaviors that are aligned with where we want to be or better, or the behaviors that are interfering with it. The 5 daily practices, just email me, by the way, David@dmeltzer.com. David means beloved at D, that's my first initial. Meltzer means servant or waiter. So email the beloved servant, David at dmeltzer.com, to get the guides, exercises, books, and the five daily practices here as a daily touch point for the formula of luck. You got to know what you want, who you can help, who can help you, how to get it done within the context of control that we've mentioned above, to prioritize, pre-prioritize, post-prioritize what's important to you. Obviously, using urgency as a subset, so that in the pre, post, and current prioritization process, we have now created an antidote to superstition, an antidote to feeling overwhelmed, an antidote to procrastination by knowing what to do now and being lucky within it and knowing what to do next. 100% of the things you do now get done. 100% of the things you do next get done. Faith combined with consistent action forms the foundation of multiplying your luck. When you stay aligned and focus on purpose and a definiteness of purpose, small actions compound into big opportunities. Even though things don't seem as if evidentially they are aligned, or even the contrary evidence being there, it is truly things will happen slowly that all of a sudden integrate these five daily practices of knowing your what, your who, your how, your now to apply your why. Applying your why is the faith that there's something bigger than you that you're a part of, the commander with, a co-creator with. And in the practice of applying the why, we are inspired, intuitive, and intelligently utilizing behavior in the linear human experience between the time the heart starts till it stops to get to where we want to be or better, building momentum through consistent small behavior, small actions each and every day, not luck. There's many different stories and lessons that are told within the context of creating your own luck, not believing in Friday the 13th. Today's the luckiest day of your life, regardless of whether it's Friday the 13th or not. And when we see these real examples and experience in them ourselves of how we can create our own luck and solidify the concept that demonstrates that luck is within our control. By utilizing the wisdom and faith to shorten the distance of resistance, by utilizing the non-negotiable and negotiable behavior. I've seen it in business where the angel investor who created luck by being in the right room at the right time, but seeing the opportunity where nobody else does. How many multi-billion dollar companies will tell you that hundreds of people said no? So the angel investor that invested in Uber was lucky when hundreds of people said no. But once again, by utilizing the formulatic methodology of luck, of paying attention and giving intention to the coincidences we desire, to be prepared to see how that company that they invested in is aligned with what's doing well, what's stable, and what they think is going to do well in the future is luck. They're prepared in building the opportunities and seeking the opportunities and the relationships necessary in paying attention and giving intention to the coincidences they desire. Sports, told many athletes that I've worked with, have achieved success through enjoying what they don't like or love, enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of their potential, not coincidence, not just Tom Brady. One of my friends, Marcellus Wiley, said it best when he signed his last contract, his biggest contract. And he's like, man, he goes, I'd play this game for free, but it's definitely nice to get paid for all the other stuff. The stuff you what? Didn't like or love. Everybody likes playing the games, or almost everybody likes playing the games. Even as a second string, below average college football player, I love the games. But man, did I not like being a second string player, practicing, taping, filming every single day, but I learned to enjoy it. And I carried over those lessons into business from sports. So many different people have a story of how their mindset, heart set, and handset, and the math that led to the unexpected breakthrough in their marriage, addiction, in their financial situations. It is all the same, turning luck into leverage, paying attention and giving intention to the coincidences that you want. You are in control. You're a commander, a co-creator of your own universe, your own perception, here to learn lessons in a linear human experience dictated by the time your heart starts till it stops, separated by the incremental use of 24 hours, except for the last day of your life, it'll be less. Create your own fortune. Don't wait for opportunities. Give all you can to identify what you're given, never to be punished, but only protected, promoted, loved, and perfected in these opportunities so that you can receive more. And then through the mathematical formula of luck, ask for even more than more. It's all about positioning your mindset, heart set, and handset to recognize and identify and align, and then be intentional about it in a definiteness of purpose of what you do, say, think, feel, and believe. Audit your behaviors, good and bad, good being in alignment with where you want to be or better, bad being interfering with it. Elevate your relationships that you're building with self and others in surrounding yourself with the right people and the right ideas, and focus in on creating this momentum by aligning what you do, say, think, feel, and believe with what's doing well, what's stable, and what you think is doing well. There should be no superstition. You can create your own luck. You are in control of your life. Creating your own luck isn't about waiting for the right moment, not a passive action. It's not dependent on chance. It's about being attentional and intentional, enjoying what you don't like or love in a consistent, persistent pursuit of where you want to be or better, and the relativity of what's doing well, what's stable, and what you think is doing well. It's about making these intentional, consistent choices that align with your definiteness of purpose, shortening the distance of resistance through wisdom and faith. As you apply the principles from this training, you'll start to see, you'll elevate your frequency, your vibration, your awareness. You will see how these small daily activities, these behaviors that are aligned in the divine, and the positive meanings that you give it, along with the positive relationships and their meaning, will multiply the opportunities, options, and touches of favor to create the coincidences, the outcomes that you desire or better. Remember, luck is not found, it's formed. Luck is not found. It's Friday the 13th. Luck is not found, it's formed. By embracing the mathematical equation, the formula of luck, you will put yourself in the driver's seat of your destiny, your divine direction. Take intention today in what you do, say, think, feel, and believe, and start creating, co-creating, and commanding the fortune that you deserve. I promise you, you will make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun when you learn to create your own luck through the mathematical equation of luck. If you'd like this guide and exercise to that mathematical equation of luck, email me, david@dmeltzer.com, or the 5 daily practices inherent as part of this training, david@dmeltzer.com. This has been our Friday training for almost 26 years, superstition versus creating your own luck on Friday the 13th, 2025. Nick of Guam, it is all yours. Why don't you go ahead and reset the room?
Absolutely. And thank you, David, for an incredible first half of training today. Of course, superstition versus creating your own luck. And as a reminder to everybody, if you'd like the guide and exercise from today's training, please make sure to reach out to David directly, david@dmeltzer.com. And if for any reason you don't have a copy of his book as well, please make sure to mention it, as he'd be happy to throw in a copy of his book. He'll sign a copy, send a copy, and even pay for shipping. Once again, people, just david@dmeltzer.com. And as, of course, we venture through what is the second half of this training, it is now time for some Q&A, all hot seat Q&A with David based on today's training. So you guys bring the questions and he will bring the answers. If you're joining us online, please put your questions into the chat. And of course, if you're live here on Clubhouse, either request to join the stage using the hand icon if you are in the audience, or of course, if you're already on stage, please just put a note in the room chat and I'll be happy to pass the mic over your way. Now, with that said, Dave, I have a ton of requests here live on Clubhouse. We are going to start with the lovely Colleen, and then I'm going to go over to Joanna Kern. So Colleen, kick us off with the first question of the day.
Good morning. Happy Friday, everybody.
Good morning.
Dave, I love the quote, luck is when opportunity and preparation meet. I think there's a lot of accountability that goes into this topic. And one of the things that came up for me was, you know, how often are you telling yourself, oh, that was really bad luck? Or are you reflecting on the opportunity for, actually, you know what, that's a bad habit. So how often do you do that reconciliation, and how often should people really be looking at it that way?
Wow. I didn't include that in my training. What a great insight that I want you to repeat that. Wow. You know, it's not, man, am I unlucky? It's what behaviors do I need to change so the coincidences change? That's amazing. I think along with, you know, preparation meets opportunity is luck is not found, it's formed. All of these are synergistic to one another. They're reconciled in this idea of an intentional life, a definiteness of purpose within the context of our life. And you asked me, you know, how often or when, and I would say previous to 18 years ago, when I went through my quantum shift, other people call it a transformation or an expansion, an enlightenment. There's so many different adjectives to what people go through, from women mostly from the time they're 28 to 38, men from 38 to 48. If you don't want quantitative proof that women are superior, there's one of them. But more importantly, in this quantum shift, and you're living proof of that, Colleen, since I've known you for so long, just a superior being. But more importantly, when we're looking at luck is not found, it's formed. Yes, that's exactly what we should be doing. Now, I spend minutes and moments not doing it now. I used to spend days, weeks, months, and years living in the out of control in luck. And even though I was good at behaviors, mostly because I probably just relied on being OCD, obsessive compulsive, and consistent because of it. Taking control of that even is this idea of forming my future. And we can form our future or create our luck simply by identifying the behaviors that are aligned with where we want to be. And those are called good behaviors, and choosing them as non-negotiable behaviors. Even furthermore, knowing the exponentiality of consistent behavior comparatively to the non-negotiable behaviors or the non-consistent behaviors, or there's some hybrid ones, once a month, once a week, twice a week, that will have a varying degree of impact or effect or outcomes or coincidences or luck tied to them. But at its essence, when we feel unlucky, we should identify the behaviors. That is a direct connect. So I think you really nailed it when you said, hey, I'm not unlucky. I'm just utilizing the wrong behaviors. And so it's time to make an adjustment, a divine detour, so that I see what behaviors are aligned with where I want to be and identify the behaviors that are interfering with it. Good behaviors are aligned with where I want to be. Bad behaviors are interfering with it. And so when we feel unlucky, we should immediately do a behavioral analysis, take inventory of our behaviors, determine how we want to adjust the negotiable and non-negotiable, high compared negotiable behaviors in order to effectuate greater coincidences in our lives. In other words, a great formula of taking control of our luck and not worrying about February the 13th. Friday, February the 13th is an unlucky day. I won't stay on the 13th. I won't bet the 13th. Whatever it is, I'm on my way to Vegas to celebrate my daughter's 21st birthday. I'm doing a whole bunch of shit that people would never do on Friday the 13th. I'm flying. I'm driving. I'm probably going to bet the 13th on wherever I can find it. You know, I'll do all kinds of shit because I'm in control of my destiny. I am forming and not finding my luck with those behaviors. What a great question. What a great insight, illustrating the enlightenment and superiority of an unbelievable woman who's, by the way, we should all congratulate, having her second child. So I am super excited for Colleen. So thank you so much. You're amazing. Thank you. I appreciate that. Really, really great way to start off. I'm super impressed. All right. Thank you, Colleen. Nick, let's keep this party rocking. What do you say?
I say, let's keep rocking and rolling. We got Joanna with the next question. I see she's already unmuted, ready to rock and roll. Joanna, it's great to see you. And as a reminder, we are going to be coming to New York City next week. I hope you're going to be around to join us. I'll make sure to give you a quick call today to make sure you get all those details, but feel free to guide us with the next question of the day.
Good morning, Nick and David. David, just if you are having what I call an unlucky day and everything seems to be going in the wrong direction for you, what are some best practices that you use to turn your day around?
Well, first of all, that's impossible. So if you are having a bad or unlucky day in its entirety, then you got to figure out your five daily practices. So you got to figure out non-negotiable behaviors. I can't even tell you, it's been years and years and years since I've had an unlucky day. I've had unlucky, I wouldn't say unlucky. I've had things that are not aligned with where I want to be. And I immediately search with the light, the love, and the lessons in that. And so understanding that you can't have an unlucky day, month, week, or year. You can have a season of challenges that'll provide you the same outcome that lifting weights provides you. You know, I tell you, don't waste the struggle. When you perceive something to be unlucky, it will be defined as a struggle, an interference between you and where you want to be. And utilizing gratitude and forgiveness will help you to utilize that struggle to strengthen yourself with the infinite amount of information and energy that's available for you by shortening the distance of resistance that you're facing or experiencing. And so our goal is to spend a minimum amount of time feeling like we're unlucky. But you can feel unlucky, but you have to realize that it is not luck. It is an indication you have a better place to be, a better position to be in, a better situation to be in. And utilizing gratitude to find that light, love, and lessons in that struggle, in that bad luck, quote unquote, and then use forgiveness to create more inspiration and ease, a greater connectivity to the information and energy, inspiration that you need. We can then shorten that distance of what you're feeling, which is an unlucky day. The last thing you want to do when an incident occurs in your life, an outcome occurs in your life that you didn't want or you don't understand, the last thing you want to do is place luck upon it. And now you're paying attention and giving attention to what you don't want, what's missing, what you don't have. And that's more what you get or what other people want for you. They've cursed me. Oh, it's a curse. Well, good. Now you're just going to start paying attention and giving intention to what you don't want and getting more of what you don't want. And so let's start. If you feel like you're having an unlucky day, telling yourself, I am lucky. What am I doing to interfere with it? I am a commander of the universe. What am I doing to interfere with it? I am part of an infinite, abundant, unified system of thought that's protecting, promoting, loving, and perfecting me. What am I doing to interfere with it? Where can I find through gratitude, the light, the love, and the lessons in this activity, defining moment, historical relevance, shortage, voids, obstacles, mistakes, failures, successes? What am I doing to interfere with it? Every single problem that you face that you may prescribe luck to has a solution in it. It's just a matter of time until you're aware of it. There's only a lapse of time between every problem and every solution. And no matter how old you are, you know that because you're still here and you have everything you need. If the solutions weren't inherent within the problem, you wouldn't be here and you wouldn't have everything you need. And so when we're very pragmatic and practical in a meta-practical way of seeing, hearing, and thinking, and feeling, and believing all of these different things, knowing that this quote-unquote unlucky coincidence, unlucky activity, unlucky circumstance is merely an indicator that you have a better place to be. Does that sound fair?
Thank you, David.
Thank you. All right. Nick, who's up next?
Absolutely. We got Tracy here who is patiently waiting live on Clubhouse. So Tracy, it's great to see you. Happy Friday. Feel free to unmute and carry us on with the next question.
Thanks, Nick. Good to see you also. Hey, Dave, thank you for this awesome topic this morning. Wow. You mentioned that luck is form, not found. Dave, can you give an example of something you've done to create your own luck?
Oh yeah. That's awesome. So luck is form. When my daughter was at Indiana University, she was living in a sorority, paying way too much to share her room with two other girls at the sorority house. And the other two girls were paying way too much as well. I had prepared myself to be able to provide housing for my daughter to go to college. I knew I wanted to give her an option or an opportunity to go to college for whatever reason she wanted to go to college, but she needed to tell me the reason she wanted to go to college. That was it. And she could have told me the reason she didn't want to go to college, and I would have been okay with that as well. But I prepared for it. For years, I did, said, thought, believed, and felt everything I could to make sure that I had enough money to pay for whatever she wanted to do at college or whatever she wanted to do by not going to college. And I prepared for that. And it was a preparation of, as you know, 18 years, because that's how old she was. And now she was, I believe she would have been 19, because she's a late dater. She's young for her grade in college. So she was 19 and COVID hit. We were in California and she's in Indiana. COVID hits and she doesn't want to come home, and the school doesn't want to come home because they're going to lose money. But I was prepared, and I went and looked to find, you know, another place to rent, but there wasn't any close enough to school. And she immediately went to the luck thing. Oh my God, COVID is ruining my life. Bad luck. And blah, blah, blah. And through my preparation, I formed an entirely different perception. And so I went online and I found a home because I was prepared, a 6-bedroom home that was ready to be bought. And I said to her, hey, even better than sharing a small room with two of your friends, go get 5 of your friends and I'll buy this house and you guys can move to this house, which is closer to campus, and you guys can have a better place to live, because they were kicking them out of the sorority. And it was less money. Not only was it less money for me, but for every other kid, but it became a profit center for me. And then she became a Indiana resident, which then gave her, for the other years, status as a resident. And she, of course, attributed to, Dad, you are so lucky. You paid for my entire college, right? And the house has doubled since I bought it, by the way, as well, as far as value. But, you know, something's only worth what somebody else is willing to pay for it when you're ready to sell it. But just a philosophy of mine. But she saw, and still probably does, because she's 23. out of college, how lucky her dad is. I can't tell you how many people, you know, I got caught up into the luck, you know, said, oh, Meltzer is Midas. Everything he touches, he turns to gold. This is just another example. Everything Dave, they were super surprised when I lost everything over $100 million, how unlucky I was. But I can pinpoint how I formed those circumstances, coincidences in my life of losing everything, which was a lot financially. But once again, here I am years later, and I'm the luckiest guy people know, because I bought a house in Indiana and it doubled and paid for my kids' college, and it's still become and is a profit center, even though my daughter's not there, creating a better place to live for those kids that are there because it's less expensive and a better property. It's not luck. I formed it. I was prepared for it. 18 years I prepared for it. 18 years I was prepared to give my child options, opportunities, and touches, a favor in her choice. There is no luck. I can give you thousands of examples of how I formed my life. It's not what I thought it was going to be at all, but I formed it. And so many people think I'm lucky. No, I'm intentional. I'm very intentional, and I'm very consistent, and I'm very persistent in the pursuit of what I think I want or better. Does that sound fair?
That is incredible. That is really, really amazing. Thank you so much for that. I just love how you form your own, you know, situation there with your daughter. And I'm sure you were dad of the year.
Well, I will tell you this. You've been a parent, I can tell. I'm not sure, you know, any kid in the world realizes what we do until they get older. We three stages of being a parent. One, idolization when they're little. Two, demonization when they're teenagers. And then finally, humanization, elevating gratitude and forgiveness with our child and our relationships, as long as it's bonded by our intention of love, of doing our best, learning lessons, and having fun. I do tell my kids every day, whether or not they think I'm dad of the year, dad of the month, dad of the day, every single day, that I'm proud of them, I love them, and I always have their back. And I suggest everybody that has kids out there, remind them of those three things. You will be preparing them to form their own luck. So thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Wonderful. And I believe we have time for one last question here as we round out this incredible training. I'm going to pass it over to Adam Smith. Adam, it's great to see you, my friend. Feel free to unmute yourself and close us out with the last question of the day.
Good morning. Man, Nick, thank you for having me on. David, it's always good to hear your voice. How are you, sir?
Amazing. Thank you so much, Adam.
Outstanding. So you said that luck is formed, not found, and opportunities are created, not happened upon. You know, over the last 8 months or so in the recovery efforts in Western North Carolina after the disaster of Hurricane Helene, we formed a nonprofit called Savage Freedoms Relief Operations. We shut down all for-profit endeavors. We turned off all of our revenue sources and revenue streams in order to double down and focus solely on this one thing of disaster relief. And prior to the storm, we had great momentum moving in the direction of building business and giving back. And then we shut the business endeavors down, though nonprofits aren't businesses. This is my question. I believe that luck is created, not found. And I believe that opportunities are created, not happened upon. So I want to create some luck and some opportunity. I want to get on a national stage. I love hearing you speak. And I want to figure out a way to work with you directly and get on a national stage and speak on the Aspire Tour. It's something I've said I wanted to do for the last 12 months. It's something I said I wanted to do prior to the storm happening. And we haven't had the opportunity in the last 6 months because we've been so doubled down on the nonprofit to get back out there and make ourselves public. So this is me creating luck. David, I'm going to ask you outright, is there an opportunity to sit down, have a face-to-face or a direct phone call, potentially do work with you, and in the next 18 months, share a stage with you to tell a powerful story about how veterans came together, local communities came together, and not only rescued themselves, but demonstrated what true resilience looks like and didn't wait for someone else to show up?
Well, today's your lucky day, because the answer is yes. Absolutely. So let me give you my cell phone number and make sure you call me this afternoon. So we'll arrange everything and we will manifest together, co-create and collaborate together to even do bigger and better than you could imagine. My cell phone is 858. This is not my text number. So my text number, by the way, for everyone, if you want to be invited to the 200 things we got going on, and I'm not exaggerating, which is inherent in my genetic and energetic behaviors, 949-298-2905. That's how you get and join our text community to be invited into stuff. David@dmeltzer.com is how you email me to get the guides, exercises, book, the five daily practices today and every single day. Just email me, David@dmeltzer.com. Now my cell phone. Do not text my cell phone. I have a text community. Call me on my cell phone. This is for anybody that wants something like Adam, is 858-688-3294. The only thing I ask is you leave me a voice message when you call me. I do not schedule time because then it becomes scheduled time and that's expensive time. I use non-time. So you will call me if you have the balls and you will leave me a message if I don't answer and I will help form your desires and they won't be found. They will be formed. We will co-create them together. It would be an honor to help you because I appreciate everything you do for your community and ours. Adam, I look forward to working with you and allowing everything that you desire to appear in your life. We will create the right behaviors, relationships to do so. Thank you, Adam, for believing in me and working with me. Anybody else, go ahead, use the text number, the email, david@dmelter.com, or my cell phone, 858-688-3294. All right, it's 7 o'clock. I want to thank my team, but most importantly, remember, it's not luck. You can form it. Be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds. God bless everybody. See you later.